Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details. How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Thursday, May 23rd, 2024. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about the final season of the TV show Evil, and we're going to present an interview with showrunners Michelle and Robert King. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editor Jacob Hall.
Hello, hello.
Jacob, welcome back to the show. I know that the show Evil is something that you've talked about on previous episodes of The Water Cooler, and you've really just been a big fan of this show basically since the beginning. So what do you think about season four so far?
Yeah, my review of season four is up at slashfilm.com, so I'll give the quick version here, which is that Evil is still being one of the best shows I've ever seen in its fourth and final season. It is just one of the funniest, weirdest, most offbeat shows I've ever seen. It's a horror show. It's incredibly scary, but it's also very funny. And all of its horror is built really deeply into social commentary and into trying to explore the nightmare that is existence in 2024, or, you know, 2019 through 2024 is the case of the show's timeline. It's just been an incredibly satisfying, wild ride. And I mentioned this before on the show, but on the podcast, but the Evil has this thing it does where it never fully commits to whether or not the supernatural elements of the show are real. The show is about a team of a priest, a psychologist, and a scientist who are hired by the Catholic Church to investigate supernatural occurrences. And every time they essentially work on a case, the people who are dead set in science, you know, refuse to see the supernatural angle, always have an explanation. Meanwhile, there's always people who, characters who are more faith-based, you know, believe in demons and monsters, that there actually is, you know, something supernatural happening. And the show walks this very fine line where it refuses to commit one way or the other. And it's doing that even into its final season. It's always a sense of mystery, a sense of dread, a sense of not knowing. It's turned delayed gratification into a massive feature of the show, which is the world of Evil is as confusing, baffling, upsetting, and as lacking in answers as our world is. Mm-hmm. And the ongoing thesis statement is whether you believe evil is the result of mankind making its own choices or the result of grander powers influencing us. Either way, it's a very scary time to be alive. And the show approaches that with outright horror, but also a lot of humor and a lot of character, which is why I recommend it. It's a very special show in that way.
Yeah, I think you called it ludicrously charming at one point, which is really, it makes me want to watch the show. I believe as of today, when people are listening to this, the fourth and final season has premiered on Paramount Plus. Have you seen the entire season so far when you had to do your review, or did you just get like a few episodes or what?
They sent me these first four episodes of a 14-episode season. It originally was going to be a 10-episode season. Then Paramount Plus canceled it and then gave them greenlit four additional episodes, let them wrap up the storyline. So that's the good news. I'll talk about this in the interview with the showrunners, Robert and Michelle King, shortly. So if you're wondering, will Evil have an ending? Yes, the answer is yes. Evil has an ending. It's not going to be left dangling. And interestingly, if you, we discussed this directly in our interview, but in other interviews, the Kings have said that they don't consider the last four episodes to be an extension of season four. They consider the next 10 episodes to be season four. And the last four episodes that were approved to wrap up the series are an abbreviated season five.
Interesting. So okay. Will,
especially since each season of Evil tends to have a very strong undercurrent, a theme running through it. The theme of season four is technology and our relationship to technology, this is the kind of show, but I guess I can give you the premise of the season premiere for season four, which is, did a large Hadron Collider open a portal to hell? Yes or no? And that's the investigation for the premiere. So those are the kind of, you know, premises that the show is exploring in season four, which makes you think that the final four episodes will probably deviate from the technology theme to be its own thing if the Kings are discussing this as being its, you know, own separate mini season.
Mm-hmm. You close your review by saying we're never going to see another TV show like Evil again, and I wonder if you could just summarize why you think that is for listeners who maybe haven't read it yet.
All right, so Barbara and Michelle King got their start working in traditional network television. They worked on The Good Wife for 7 years. That was their big show. And I've never watched A Good Wife, but it is well-liked and is very much considered in high regard as an example of here's a TV show that a procedural, you know, crime of the week style TV show that does that hits all those classical notes that you want out of a show like that while also, you know, being maybe a cut above the average one. Evil is a show that satisfies all the itches you want out of classic TV. There's a real Law and Order vibe to the case of the week episode. Each episode has its own separate case. Each episode has a beginning, middle, end. It's about one thing and reaches a conclusion about that case. You know, even if it's an open-ended, you know, discussion of how much was real or how much was fiction, how much was supernatural versus, you know, science. It really follows that traditional TV structure. That's very satisfying, very bingeable. And maybe people who crafted a career out of making traditional TV for networks. I asked them about this in the interview so they can go into detail on it as well. But that comfort allows them to play with form in ways that are really interesting. They are presenting a show that has a Law and Order or ER style structure, but then it goes to dark, weird, bizarre places where it will suddenly break from formula or break from tradition in ways that are genuinely jarring and are best pulled off by somebody who knows not just how to be shocking, but how to lull us into thinking we're watching a show that's playing by traditional TV rules. So they go out of their way to break it. Mm-hmm. And in a landscape where showrunners are kind of being plucked out of nowhere and don't have a lot of experience, and there's all these stories these days about people running TV shows despite having not had time in writers' rooms, not having time on a CBS, you know, sitcom or procedural where they're cranking at 24 episodes in a season. I think we're going to lose that. We're going to that kind of ingrained knowledge of here are the basic TV rules that still work, and we're smart enough to know how to break them effectively. Is something that is a dying art, and Evil represents that at its absolute best.
Okay, so last question before we get to the interview, especially listening to you talk about it now, but I feel like every time you've brought it up on the show, I think about The X-Files. This show seems like it took the baton from The X-Files in a really big way. I was wondering if you think there's any other show that maybe either held that baton in between, or if you think that this is just like the straight up successor to X-Files in terms of a little bit of those thematic ideas and sort of the structure that you're talking about.
I have not seen all of it, but I think Supernatural is probably the show that kind of exists between these two, in that, you know, a very traditional case of the week style show about people solving, you know, supernatural crimes or cases, but also really heavily investing in overarching mythology. I mean, that was Supernatural's whole thing was, you know, each week those Winchester boys fight another monster, but the show never like hits reset on them. They're always growing as characters, even more so I think Mulder and Scully did in X-Files. Even though they did grow, they didn't grow quite as much as the Winchesters did in Supernatural. They certainly didn't grow as much as the main characters in Evil did. Some real startling transformations over four seasons for those characters.
Yeah, I was going to say, that seems like very impressive, especially comparing it to Supernatural, which I think ran for something like 15 seasons or something absurd like that. So you compare that to what Evil has done, where it has to basically go four and out. That's quite a lot of ground for Evil to make up, but it sounds like it certainly made its impact in that short amount of time.
Yeah, I know that I asked about the note of melancholy in the press release for final season, and they confirmed that, yeah, they saw, I'm going to paraphrase a bit of the interview that you want to listen to, where they talk about evil as an accordion to them. It could have expanded or retracted as needed. They would have happily gone on for much, much longer. So I guess that the good news is that the show is ending while it's still great. Like there's not a bad stretch on evil, whereas X-Files and Supernatural both have their not great stretches.
Okay, anything else we need to know before we get into your interview here?
I don't think so. No spoilers for season four. Like it's a pretty general discussion, and I hope people who watch the show enjoy the interview. The Kings, they're a married couple. I love a married couple who makes TV. I think it's charming as all hell. but I think they're delightful. I wish I had more time with them. And I hope that if you have not watched Evil, you use this as your chance to jump in, knowing that it will be completely complete with an actual ending when the season is over. Should hopefully be an indication that, you know, it's good to jump in.
Excellent. All right. Well, here is Jacob's conversation with Michelle and Robert King.
I guess I want to start with, before you were Evil came to streaming and before you were working in a streaming environment, you had The Good Wife, you were working more traditional network television. I would love to know what lessons you learned working for traditional network TV, working for, you know, a CBS that sets you up to be able to break rules with Evil. Like what from working in traditional TV allowed you to push the boundaries with Evil?
Well, you know, Evil started on CBS. I don't know if you knew that, but yes. So this started as a network show. So it just shifted a little bit, but not that much. I would say what we learned was we like telling stories that are closed ended in an episode and yet have stories that involve the characters that also arc over multiple episodes.
I think the other thing about network is your structure requires that you have a certain amount of actions within each episode, which we enjoy because we love episodes that don't bore us. So the more you're going to have things happen, the better. So that, and also it's, you know, it's more fun to scream fuck in a church than fuck, you know, what in among in the Sopranos or something. I mean, it's Hannibal was more fun because it was on network TV. It was just perverse.
So I guess the follow-up to that, I think some people see streaming as this place where anything goes, but in some ways, Evil is still maybe has one toe in a more traditional place, which allows it to feel more dangerous because it sometimes resembles a traditional show and then veers left. Is that something you guys think about?
Oh, so much. And thank you for saying that. I mean, I think a lot of what we do is in reaction to what is now kind of premium TV streaming. You know, there's really good versions of it, Shogun, for example, but there's a lot of versions of it where you're just kind of bored to death. And I do think there's something about sticking to the old mode that allows things to be seen more dangerous, I guess is it. But if you're allowed all bets are off, then there's kind of no danger to it. So that I think one thing. To try to also have characters that you really engage with and they'd be good in another drama. There's a extraordinary comedy called Extraordinary, which is a very normal roommate show, but all of them have superpowers. And it's the very fact that it's kind of given a grounding in the roommate show that makes you laugh at all the other things going on.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
This summer, discover American Giant's timeless, high-quality clothing made right here in the USA. Every piece is designed for quality and style that's built to last. From vintage-style tees to tough tank tops, breathable polos to lightweight sweatshirts, you can find your perfect fit. Celebrate American craftsmanship and support local communities with every stitch. Go to American-Giant.com and use promo code STAPLE20 for 20% off your first order.
When you need to work quickly and confidently across different apps and platforms, consistent quality communication is key. Whether you're writing documents, emails, or presentations, you need Grammarly. It's an AI writing partner that helps you get your work done faster with better writing. It's always there to help because it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can get more done no matter where you're writing. Grammarly is the gold standard of responsible AI, trusted by millions of professionals for 15 years. It gives you personalized writing suggestions based on your audience, goals, and context, plus tone suggestions to help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
This is Scott Campbell from the Stupid Things for Love podcast. I have a 7-year-old son, and the biggest mountain I climb every day is trying to put shoes on this child. And I'm so grateful to Skechers for making the only shoes my son will willingly put on by himself. Their slip-ons are amazing, and he doesn't have to deal with laces, he doesn't have to deal with anything. They come in the perfect color blue. Thank you, Skechers, the comfort technology company. And you can find Skechers everywhere. Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
So some shows that have ongoing mythologies, you know, some showrunners discuss having a grand master plan. Some discuss how they find the stories in the room and sort of wing it. And both processes have led to great shows. But which of those approaches better describes creating the world and universe of evil?
Maybe a combination of those
two. Yeah.
In that if something is established, we don't just toss it away and the room remembers it and tries to honor it as we move forward. But it isn't as though the world was created before the episodes.
I mean, we know where we're going thematically for the year. Like this coming season is about science and the scares that come with science. Not with it, and not as a condemnation of science, but it's more, there's a cockiness or hubris that comes with it. And that seemed to be a theme this year. Of the last four episodes, we were intrigued by the idea of doppelgangers. So we really want to build for, without telling ourselves exactly where it was going to end up, it's fun to have a theme connected with what you're doing, because that's then your through line for your year.
So what comes first when you're developing an evil storyline? Is it the supernatural horror angle, or is it the satire and commentary? They both come together so well, but I'm curious if there's ever like a direct way in or if that rotates.
I would say neither. I would say it's plotting.
But even that is based on maybe a story we'll read.
That's
in
what
a
I
new,
mean.
Oh,
that's
go
what
ahead.
I meant. In other words, it's about the story and an idea for a story. And then as that is explored, then the idea of, okay, where are the scares is formally addressed. The comedy is more comes in the writing.
I would say we,
yes, hear me.
No,
go ahead. Just finish. The scares come in the build and the comedy comes in the writing.
Yeah, that's true. And I think with the proof of that is we keep throwing out stories. We throw out 3 or 4 a year that is a great story, but you realize there's nothing that's scary in there. Mm-hmm. You'd have to create something off the beaten track to be a scare. So I think that shows the proof of that.
But despite the sheer number of awful things that happen in the world of Evil, one of my writers and I were talking about this, and she says that the show is, in her view, ultimately hopeful, because she points to Kristen's daughters and says that every supernatural crisis, every mundane human crisis, it ultimately bounces off them. They survive and grow stronger. So do you agree with her that Evil, while a bleak show, is ultimately very hopeful?
I like that idea very much. I wouldn't contradict it.
And I agree with it, because I do think it's not just that. Kristen's character, faced with the worst thing imaginable, laughs. The very fact that we have the ability to laugh will allow us to face Trump being president or whatever else is coming our way. You know, that ability to satirize. And the girls, I think, are a good example of people who are industrious, even though life is pretty shitty for them often. I mean, they have one bathroom, and we didn't even have a toilet until the third season. We seem to not be able to afford it, which is insane, until we needed blood to flow out of it. Then we said, we got to put in a toilet. We need blood to come from somewhere. Yeah.
So stripping aside if the stuff that makes Evil really special, the social commentary, the satire, the human drama, at the end of the day, the horror elements have always worked, and you've always embraced monsters and creatures, and most importantly, putting an actor in a suit and letting them be on the set. Can you discuss your decision to go practical with your monsters as often as you can? Because it's such a delight to see men in rubber suits.
Joel Harlow, he does our creature creation, and how could you improve on him? That would be one thing. The second thing is there is a sameness to a lot of the CGI attached to monsters. There's somehow a blue cast. I'm not sure why. Some directors get away with it, but there's, you know, the Thunderbolt feel to a lot of CGI really does make you realize I'm looking at something unreal that's not quite there. And I think there's a true danger when George, who's the creature who started this off, is truly there with the actress, leaning over the actress, and they're face to face, nose to nose. That seems more dangerous than if he were all a CGI creation. It's also easier on the actors. I think it's very hard to act across from a green screen. And those were the ones to me.
Yeah.
But again, Joel Harlow, if he didn't come into our lives, I think we wouldn't have as many creatures. He's just like a genius about creating creatures.
A few years ago, I think it was for the season 3 premiere, I interviewed Michael Emerson and asked him, how much do the actors know about the universe? Like, what's real, what's not, you know, what's the vision, what's the actual reality? And he laughed about how he didn't know, and he preferred it that way. So how much information do you let the larger crew and cast know about what's real and what's not in the world of Evil?
You know, I don't think we have those conversations. We've had conversations at the beginning of the season about where we're thinking the show might head. But other than that, it's script by script.
Yeah, the one who calls us the most is Christine Lottie. And these conversations, I wish I recorded them, because they sound like insane people talking. This is why you're injecting yourself. This is why you're doing that and that. And, you know, an actor just needs, okay, what framework can I put it in? Kotch at the end of the first year want to know, did I really kill this guy? And we say, we don't want anyone to know it outside of us yet, but yes, because the actor has to know how to play something, but that it's a joyful thing for you. You're not strumming and dragging it. That'll be next year. But so anyway, I mean, it's only important to tell the actors as much as they know to be perform the part, and they need to make decisions based on that.
All right. So I have time for one last quick question. So I get the impression, you can see, correct me if I'm wrong, that you guys could have made Evil for a lot longer, and this didn't need to be the final season, and that the press release sounded a little melancholy for that reason. But I gotta know, did you end up reaching the conclusion you had always planned, or were you forced to make major modifications to make this a final season?
The Evil as a structure for a show was like an accordion. It could expand and subtract to whatever we wanted. We ended up exactly where we wanted thematically for the show with those last four episodes. But, you know, there's clearly Evil is not disappearing from the world. And I think there's worth in having a show like Evil to at least satirize what's going on with AI and what's happening with this dehumanization that comes through, you know, with capitalism. Those things seem like they're fun things to attack by our show. But we did end up in the arena of what we wanted with the finale. I'm sorry, would you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's, we were grateful to have four episodes at the end to wrap up the story in a fitting way.
And I think the melancholy that you correctly feel is that we really love working with this team, not just all the actors and actresses, but all the technicians and craftspeople. We're just really fun because they might say, what if I did this? What if I gave him root beer instead of alcohol? And it was like, oh my God, yeah, that's his character. Good. Let's go with that. So anyway, it's hard to get a group of people together that are swimming and rowing all in the same direction and having a good time doing it. And that's what the show was.
All right. Well, I'm out of time. Thank you so much. This has been a very special show and I'm glad we got to have it for as long as we did. So thank you.
Take care.
All right, you can find much more about Evil at slashfilm.com. I will try to link to a few things in the show notes, including Jacob's written review of the whole final season. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really does help us out a lot. Tell your friends about this show any way you can. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
When you need to work quickly and confidently, you need Grammarly. It's a trusted AI writing partner that helps you get work done faster with better writing. And it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.